Absolutely, yes. I think, you know, with this lockdown, what you've got is not only the kind of difficulty that comes with being isolated and being lonely and not having the social contact that we're all very used to in today's day and age, but also then, you know, what we call the winter blues and, you know, other kind of difficulties. I think when people have seen the first lockdown and the impact it's had on people's livelihoods, people's work and just general kind of lifestyles, this one obviously, you know, is going to come with a bit more of a stark outcome.
How much damage is done by the fact that people are going to think, not unreasonably, we've already done this, we've already been through this, we did our bit, and here we are being asked to do it again?
I think, you know, with that, there's obviously going to be a great deal of hopelessness and people kind of feeling like, you know, well, it didn't seem to kind of do the trick quite last time, so what makes us think it's going to do it this time?
How do people best cope with that then? Because it's a conclusion to which lots of people might come. And I'm not talking about the lockdown skeptics here. I'm not talking about the loud, vocal minority of people who don't accept the need for this. I'm talking about people who, the vast majority of people, who will, as we say, think to themselves, we've done this already. How one might best psychologically cope with that?
So I think it's about kind of, you know, ensuring that even though lockdown does kind of bring restrictions to what we can and can't do, trying to kind of be a little bit more creative. I think, you know, I myself and a lot of other people kind of found themselves connecting with people virtually more than in person, and actually trying to kind of keep things up. And actually, for a lot of people, you know, having the lockdown meant that families came closer, people rekindled social contacts and things like that. So I think it's about all of us kind of checking in with each other, looking after each other, and actually just, you know, reigniting that sense of community and, you know, almost like, you know, the war mentality of we're all in this together and, you know, we all meet again.
I don't want to focus too much on the negatives here at all, but I think having things to look forward to is always incredibly important, and it seems to me that that's more difficult this time, because when we went into lockdown first time, we had our eyes on some date at some unknowable point in the future at which it felt as if the restrictions would be completely lifted, it would feel like Independence Day, it would feel as if we had emerged victorious from a war. I think we now know that it's whenever these restrictions are lifted, however they're lifted, it's unlikely to feel like that. And we also know that one of the really big things that people have been looking forward to, Christmas, that is in a lot of doubt as well. So again, without being negative, it's harder to look forward this time.
Absolutely, yes, because, you know, the thing that keeps a lot of people going through the winter months is Christmas and the festive season. And, you know, people of all faiths have major religious festivals. Hindus have Diwali, you know, and Jewish people have Passover and Hanukkah coming up. But I think, you know, it's about kind of thinking that, yes, you know, we will kind of have further restrictions over the festivity periods, but just trying to, again, kind of, you know, try and be positive about it. And, you know, certainly in a lot of the work that I do with my patients around this, it's been about trying to put positive reframes of, you know, okay, fine, so we can't all have the large family and friends gathering at Christmas, but actually how are we going to still kind of mark the occasion and still try and kind of have some element of, you know, festivity as well.
Well, let's reflect on some of those tactics that might have been used, Doctor, during the first lockdown to help get people through this. At the height of the lockdown, maybe the depths of the lockdown is a better way of putting it, we had many conversations with people such as yourself and your colleagues about the best way to get through a very strange and very unpleasant period. So let's switch to the positives then. What sort of tools do we have at our disposal to make this easier?
So I think, you know, it's about being holistic in our approach to well-being. And, you know, as much as we should be looking after our physical well-being by, you know, maintaining, you know, hand hygiene, etc., it's also about looking after our mental well-being. We know that actually when it comes to viruses and, you know, bugs and coughs and colds, stress is probably one of the biggest risk factors that kind of makes one vulnerable to this. Engaging in, regular exercise and trying to kind of, as much as possible, get fresh air safely whilst maintaining social distance, might I add, is really important. I think it's also really important that, as I was saying before, that people do kind of make a point of, speaking to people a lot more. I think, we're all really good in this day and age at using WhatsApp and, other kind of written methods of communication. But actually, there is something to be said about actually hearing voices and, actually hearing other people, because, through the subtlety of the way people speak, there is emotional connection as well. I think, in addition to that, as much as, NHS services and statutory services and private services like ours are facing restrictions in terms of how we can engage with our patients, services are still available for those that are really struggling. And, throughout the previous lockdown, there was a lot of emphasis on people keeping an eye out for one another. The Thursday evenings where people would come out together and actually kind of re-engage that sense of community. But also what that did was gave people the opportunity to check in with neighbours who might be living on their own or might be more isolated.
Well, we've often given out the number on this programme for the Samaritans. Very happy to do so once again if anyone does feel the need to contact a service which primarily exists to listen rather than advise, but that can be very important. Their number is 116 123. That's 116 123. But on the provision of mental health services within the NHS, Dr. Chirag Garasia, we have had this conversation in so-called normal times, the parity of esteem between mental health provision and physical health service provision has never really been reached as far as I can see. At this very difficult time, do you have confidence that there is sufficient capacity even within the NHS for people who are really struggling with their mental health to get the help they need?
Well, I have to kind of be honest with this. I think that, mental health services are severely under-resourced, both before and kind of during the COVID period. I would like to kind of be optimistic and say, yes, the NHS can provide support. But I think in our work as NHS clinicians, we are finding that, the kind of threshold for when we do actually offer a service to someone is getting higher and higher. And that is because of the severe lack of funding for mental health services. And might I add also support services psychologically for people with long-term physical health conditions.